the most important meal of the day, second breakfast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Second Breakfast podcast. I'm Andy Roth alongside Phil Duvall. Say hi, Phil.
Hi.
and it's Thursday. Time for our long form podcast. Take a little more time.
You can tell that it's different from our other podcasts because it's exactly the same length as our shorter podcasts. When we first envisioned this, we're like, we'll do these shorter podcasts. We'll like a 5-minute Monday and a 10-minute Tuesday, and then Wednesday will be like 20 minutes, and then Thursday will be like 45 to an hour, and then Friday will be back down to like 20. And we're at pretty much like 15, 40, 45, hour, 45. The problem here is it's all gold.
Right? Right? You told me what you'd cut.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I give you too much gold?
Right?
Like, right? Can you imagine like a miner being like, I'm sorry, I didn't want this much gold. I mean, I wanted to find a little gold dust. I wasn't expecting the whole mountain to be made of gold. What am I going to do with all this riches?
Right.
That's the
I probably shouldn't have paired up with Humphrey Bogart. I think I do need those stinking badges. Dee, 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 dee.
Yeah. We made a mistake. today's a special day. Can I tell everyone why?
Please do.
Well, the reason is twofold. The first reason is that today is the return of the Gauntlet.
The Gauntlet.
The Gauntlet.
The Gauntlet.
Let me tell you a little story, people. Picture this. Oh. The year is 2012. Two young intrepid podcasters are doing a podcast about the movies. So my friend that has not met Andy yet.
Okay, I don't just know a him. Friend, I don't
he's
know
just a guy. Friend you haven't. He's a friend you haven't met. That's all. He's a friend you haven't met. My friend Josh Edwards, we were doing the mailbag, and my friend Josh Edwards decided one day to send us a mailbag question. But he sent us like 7 or 8 mailbag questions in a row.
Yes. And they were all open-ended. Yeah.
And they were multiple choice. He said, okay, I'm going to give you, like, for instance, he was like, best Stanley Kubrick movie. But that wasn't the whole thing. It was best Stanley Kubrick movie. Doctor Strangelove, Full Metal Jacket, or The Shining.
Right.
In other words, even if you thought that the best Kubrick movie was 2001, that was not one of the options. You had to choose.
Yes.
And he had this thing, and Andy and I were looking at it, we're like, well, which one do we do? And then we realized we have to do all of them. And if we realized if we did all of them, this would not just be a mere mailbag. And we realized that this was indeed actually something that Joshua had constructed. He had thrown down a gauntlet before us.
Indeed.
Now, little did we know that, in fact, he really did think of it as a gauntlet, because when I talked to him about it before we recorded it, but after we decided to do it and call it the gauntlet, he said, I just kind of wanted to see where you guys actually stood with things. Like, I wanted to see if I was going to listen to you, because we were relatively new at this.
Yeah.
And not the old pros that we are now.
It's true.
The two old salts. That he said he wanted to make sure that we had any taste in movies and that we were worth paying attention to.
Yes.
So it actually was a gauntlet. Now, we answered this question.
Not enough people call me salty. I think I can pull off salty.
It's true, but you're so gentle and like when people first meet you, you're very sort of gregarious and bubbly and sort of like pleasant.
Sure.
But it takes a little bit longer to know you to know the salty side.
So should I be like Quint from Jaws, like all the time? Announce my presence by like scratching my nails down a chalkboard.
I feel like you're describing how I am on a regular basis.
Y'all know me.
I think the difference between you and me is that on a public level, I tend to be saltier than you.
I think that's probably true.
Although this whole priest thing has put a little bit of a damper on my salt. I'm not going to lie.
Fair. It's fair.
It has hindered my speech. Let's just put it that way.
I'm stalling. I'm stalling for time.
You
Please
are.
Continue.
So what happens is, we do this gauntlet, and lo and behold, other people then submit these gauntlets, which we define as mailbags that are written all by one person,
mm-hmm.
questions, multiple questions, generally 7 to 10, with multiple choice answers.
Yes. There are some. Okay. There have been some gauntlet questions, and these today.
We'll get into that.
There have been some in the past open-ended gauntlet questions, but
right.
the OG gauntlet.
And also, even the there have been some that have been open-ended, but they have had strict rules around them. Like someone said, name the last movie you saw, no explanations. Name the last movie you cried at, no explanations. Yes. But there were still like rules, and that was couched within other multiple choice questions with it, like the larger framework of the gauntlet.
True.
The gauntlet would have stayed like this forever. Would not the gauntlet creator himself, Joshua Edwards, have created a new gauntlet that breaks all the rules?
All the rules.
And when Andy and I spoke about this, there was some discussion, is this really a gauntlet?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer finally came, the gauntlet creator himself constructed this thing and called it a gauntlet. Therefore, my friends, it is a gauntlet.
Having said all of that, I do not want anything we've just said or the structure of today's gauntlet to intimidate anyone thinking of forming their own gauntlet for us. Please. We try to do these at least once a month. We got a couple in the bank, but not forever, and we love doing them. They are a lot of fun, and
they hurt sometimes.
They do hurt sometimes.
But no, you don't try to be clever if it's not your bag. If you have a cool idea for a bunch of questions you want to ask us, go for it. It's just that Josh Edwards happens to have taken this thing to the next level. Look,
it's true.
Folks, he's just playing a different game than you, and that's okay. Like, you know?
Don't hate the player, hate the gauntlet.
Hate the gauntlet, like we do. There's a scene in the movie City Slickers, which I actually watched part of last night. I love City Slickers. I actually fell asleep because I was so exhausted, but I had to turn it off. But
you definitively had a better night than me because you watched City Slickers.
I fell asleep while watching City Slickers. What a better life than you. Absolutely. Okay.
No
okay.
Question.
It was back when Billy Crystal was amazing.
Sure.
Like when I was watching that going, what hit that and Throw Mama from the Train and Princess Bride. And you're like, what happened to this guy? But anyways, there's a scene in that movie. There's two characters that are based on Ben and Jerry. They call Ira and Barry, right. And they're famous ice cream guys.
That's right.
And their gift that they have is that they can name an ice cream flavor to go with any meal ever.
Nice.
And so at one point, Billy Crystal defines this whole meal for them, and they have to pick the correct recipe or the correct ice cream to go with that meal. And so he does this whole thing, like describes the meal, and it's like a showdown in the Old West, but instead with guns, he's describing food. And at the end, and the guy's like sitting there, Barry is sitting there going, and like sweating from the lip. And then finally he just goes, rum raisin. And then the guy's like, oh, that was it. And they slap high five and they're like, that's the right thing. And like, Billy goes like, how do you know that's the right ice cream flavor? And he's like, 35 million, you know, ice cream sold in the last year. Like, right. How would we not know?
That's right.
And so what Josh Edwards has done with this gauntlet is he's created a situation where we have to pair a movie with a situation that he creates.
Yes.
He creates a situation and then we pair it with a movie. Like, not unlike a fine wine being paired with a meal.
Can I point out that a podcast being done by two gentlemen concerned with their weight, you had to go with the ice cream analogy and not just pairing a fine wine. You had to go there.
I go with what I know.
Nice, nice. Well, Tubbs.
Tubbs McGee over here. I'm going to laugh and then I'm going to go and cry in the bathroom.
I know, right? Folks, we're going to cut for a second while we sob into our handkerchiefs and then we'll come back.
Okay, we're back. Okay. Let's do this show.
Indeed, shall we?
All right, Chubbs. Chubbs and Tubbs.
Chubbs and Tubbs. All right.
Probably Tubbs. All right.
I am not comfortable with these potential nicknames.
I hate all of them. Let's never mention this again. Let's delete the last 20 minutes.
Indeed.
Andy, would you like to begin us with the gauntlet?
I would.
Would you like to read the letter?
Here we go. Hey, fellas. Okay, here it is. A gauntlet of questions designed to test your ability to pair a fine movie with a fine time, or create the right mood for the right situation. Good luck. We're all counting on you. That's a little disingenuous because these are fairly specific situations, and I'm not sure that everyone is counting on us. But
I think everyone is counting on us.
But my ego will allow me to accept that. So here we go, shall we?
We shall.
The questions. Question number one. Question number one.
Oh.
My wife and I are in our 50s. We are waiting on our youngest child to commit to his girlfriend of 6 years and move out of the basement. What movie should we watch when they come for dinner again on Friday night?
Okay. Parents in their 50s, still have their kid, living in their basement. Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, get out of there. It's been 6 years. They're coming back for dinner Friday night, and we're going to watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have a joke answer and a real answer.
I have like a zillion answers for all of these, so it's all good. You go okay. crazy. Okay. You go nuts.
My first answer is a movie called Parents. This is a movie set in 1950s suburbia where Randy Quaid and his wife play a people who actually the son finds out are cannibals and that the food that they're cooking for dinner is actually human meat. And the he's a butcher who's killing people and eating them. And the director is Bob Balaban. Yeah, and Randy Quaid, it's true. And Randy Quaid plays like the happy, like, hey, honey, I'm home. But then the son realizes very soon that, in fact, they're eating people. I think this movie would be great because I think the son, the daughter, or the presumed girlfriend would be like, your parents are crazy.
It's true. That's true.
And the son would be like, we've got to get out of here.
That's right. That's right. Okay. I like that.
Now, my other answer.
Okay.
You've got a listless son living mooching off you and not Freeloader. Able to make a decision about a woman, even though he clearly loves her.
Indeed.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Love it. Love.
Now.
Love it.
The problem with this pick, even as I say it, and I think I need to take this back. I'll think of another one while we're talking.
Okay.
The problem with this pick is if your wife and you are in your 50s, you may not enjoy this movie. So I may have failed already at the gauntlet from question number one.
Okay. Okay. That's fair.
I have to think more about this, but it's a movie about a kid who's just a disaster, but adorable disaster, lovable disaster.
Yes.
Making the decision to commit and move out on his own.
Yes.
Commit to a woman and move out on his own. And yes. figuring out who he is in the process.
Yes.
That's my answer.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. And I thinking about it, and obviously you've had more time to sit with your answer than I have, but I don't see a problem with that because...
I think it's a movie for people our age. That's my problem with my own pick.
Yes, but I also think that it's good enough that people of any age can enjoy it. So I had problems answering this question, and indeed many questions in this gauntlet, because I was a little unclear as to what he specifically meant. So I have some answers for if you want them to commit to each other, and if you just want him out of the house, right? Because maybe you...
Oh, I think both. I think they want him to commit and to get out of the house. We are waiting on our youngest child to commit and to get out of the house.
I understand that's the preferred situation.
I think what they want is their kid to grow the hell up. That's what I think they want.
So here are my ones. So these all work for both, but this is for the ones that are sort of angled more towards the committing. A movie called The Baxter.
Ah.
A romantic comedy starring the conceit of the romantic comedy is, you know, that guy who's really, really nice, who doesn't get the girl in the romantic comedy. He's the guy that the girl leaves when she realizes who she really wants to be with, i.e. Bill Pullman in like 87 movies, but most specifically Sleepless in Seattle. The movie follows that guy and makes him the hero of the romantic comedy. And it's wonderful. And it's got everyone in the world in it, and they're all wonderful in it. And that is to show your son and his girlfriend that love is strange, but you've got to cultivate it when you find it. Next one, 25th Hour, Spike Lee movie. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, wait for it.
Wow.
To show them you should get married because one of you might go to prison and spouses can't testify against each other. Zing. Very, very quickly, Once, the musical from a few years ago.
Oh, good pick.
Yeah, it's so romantic that in some states, the law actually recognizes that you're common law spouses with whomever you're sitting next to when you watch it. It is
good.
It is, yes, it's that romantic. And 500 Days of Summer to show them something different depending on if they like it or if they don't. If they like it, it shows them that romance is a process which cannot be rushed, but also should not be delayed. And if they didn't like it, to show them, to be honest, poo or get off the pot, because you are insufferable if you don't.
Got it.
Yeah?
Yes.
If you want him out of the house, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Nice. This goes along with my parents' theme.
Yes, because you
just
know what?
Just show them how sick and crazy you are.
Well, yes. And you know what? You know what? Yes, there's a crazy dude running around with a chainsaw, but you know what the movie's really about? A family that has lived together too long. Right?
Yeah. Right? Nice. Nice. That's fantastic answer.
Quick Change, a lovely movie where Bill Murray, Randy Quaid, shows up again in this answer, and Gina Davis try to escape Manhattan after robbing a bank. And I put that one in there because if you miss your window to escape, it can become almost impossible to do so. Nice. Then we've got Father of the Bride Part 2 to imply that as soon as your son moves out, he will be replaced by a new child in their home, in your home and in your hearts. Misery.
Oh my God, you have so many movies.
I know. Misery to imply that if he doesn't leave while he's able to, you will potentially fix it so that he is not able to.
I have one movie per choice here, people. Okay, go ahead.
And finally, Shaun of the Dead, for similar reasons as Scott Pilgrim. Everyone will have a great time.
Shaun of the Dead's a great choice.
Yeah, and it implies that he might save the world, or at least his part of it, if he just learns to grow up and commit to something.
I think Shaun of the Dead would be huge. I would agree with you on Shaun of the Dead completely. I would like to add one more movie.
Please do.
True Grit. Because the girl is 10 years old and she still has her crap together better than you, you idiot.
Love it. Love it. I love that answer.
Perfect. Like, seriously.
Yes.
Get it together.
Yes.
I don't care if you marry the girl or not. Just get out of our house.
Indeed. It totally. Complete agreement. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Question number two. And I'll go first just to knock this out of the way. My teenagers think everything sucks. Probably they're right. What new flick do I take them to?
I love this question.
Yes,
me too. I
love
this question.
By new, I took that to mean in theaters now.
As well as I did.
Okay. I'll give you two. The Place Beyond the Pines, because you don't have it so bad, you ungrateful brat. Everyone has problems.
Haven't seen it yet, but I believe you.
Indeed. And the more hopeful answer, Jurassic Park in IMAX 3D, because if they can watch that movie and not be completely consumed by childlike wonder and optimism, even with all the people eating that happens, you're better off knowing now so you can write them out of the will.
Good choice.
Thank you. I'm done.
Fantastic choice.
Thank you.
Thanks. Fantastic choice. I wanted to say Mud. But I really haven't seen it.
Sure.
My teenagers think everything sucks. Probably they're right. What new flick do I take them to? Evil Dead. Because for the same reason you said Place Beyond the Pines, it could suck so much more.
I love it.
You could be possessed and raped by a demon.
Indeed.
And then watch your whole people die and be killed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
One. Uno. Duh. Because here's the deal with Evil Dead. It would freak your children out that you took them to see this.
Sure.
Oh, everything sucks. Your life is terrible. I've got a movie for you, and they'll be like, "What happened? Why is our what? Mm-hmm. No, because then nothing's safe anymore, and that's what you get for questioning me, you little brat."
Nice. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Your answer is superior yet again. I think Jurassic Park is a fantastic option. I mean, I was going to say, I mean, like, I sort of feel like, how can you possibly say no to Iron Man 3? I really think that.
Nice. Nice.
But I just think everybody wins. Like, this is one of those things where just stop. But I do recognize that if they think everything sucks, they might be like, comic books are stupid. And I mean, by and large, they're right. But I mean, they are. But anyways, I think so. That was why I didn't say that.
Sure.
That's why I didn't say that.
I love your answer. I love your answer, Evil Dead. And I would have liked Iron Man 3 too, because you know what? Teenagers need to learn to suck it up and enjoy themselves at a movie that is nothing but enjoyable when they're sitting there all mopey.
literally what could be the problem.
Indeed. Totally agree.
That's how I felt about the Avengers. Like, if you didn't like the Avengers while you were watching it, and I have a friend that didn't, what?
It's kind of on you.
I was just like, I got nothing for you if you didn't like that.
Right.
Okay.
Shake your hand and good day, sir.
Yeah, and a good day to you now.
I said good day.
All right. Next gauntlet question.
Shall we continue?
Yeah.
Number 3. My boyfriend is bringing his 2 toddlers from a previous marriage to our Thursday afternoon date with air quotes around us. Yes. Because he couldn't get a babysitter. Typical. I think he's using me for baby wipes. Those things add up. What should we watch?
Me first?
If you'd like, or I can go.
WALL-E. But let me say more. The answer is clearly WALL-E, and let me tell you why. Because I think even though this guy's using you, you do like him. He's probably not using you. It's just you're having a down day, and you're worried that he's using you. But you do want to have any kind of a date.
Sure.
And the toddlers make everything terrible, because I have one, and that's what they do for a living. They just crap all over everything that's good to you. But the thing that you want to do is you want to show them a movie. You want to watch a romantic movie, but you can't watch a romantic movie with kids.
Sure.
You just can't.
Sure.
And even the romantic cartoon movies like Beauty and the Beast, for instance, the romance is not actually the point of the movie.
Right.
And the kids will be like, ew, it's rom. I mean, the kids won't even get it. They're toddlers. They're going to be like, blah, 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 blah. WALL-E is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking as someone who's watched it with their kid, there's other movies that I might pick for the kids.
Right.
But WALL-E is actually a romance between 2 robots.
Yes.
With genuinely romantic moments.
Yes.
More authentic than half the romantic comedies that have come out in the last year or 10 years. Okay?
I think that percentage is so low.
Yeah. So what you have is a movie that the kids will enjoy, but if you watch it, if you're able to pay attention, which is questionable, but if you're able to pay attention, like, there's moments of sheer romance. And in the end, what it's actually about is these 2 people falling in love, even though they're robots. And it's about a lot of other things, but that's what it's really about. So WALL-E is my choice. We talk about that movie a lot on this podcast, so I hate answering the things that it's like you've heard us say before. There we are, though, WALL-E.
Yeah, but as I said about, I think about WALL-E and certainly about another Pixar movie, if you're not currently watching the movie, you don't realize how good it is. Like, the second the movie's over, you don't fully realize how amazing it is. So I'm fine. We could do a Thursday podcast that's literally just an hour of us repeating WALL-E to each other.
I know, but I care about our viewers in a way that's nonsensical, considering how little they care for us. I'm just kidding.
Nice.
It's a joke. No, but I do care that they're like, oh my God, we get it. We get your answers. I want to make sure that we're, you know.
It's fair. It's a fair point. It's a fair point.
Next.
You are going to hate me and possibly kick me off of the podcast. I went a different way. I basically ignored the fact that there were toddlers there and focused on the fact that this was a relationship in crisis. So.
I mean, there's another relationship in crisis question 3 questions away, dude. What are you doing?
You know what? You know what, tough guy? You've had your turn. Deba, once I say my movies, you can respond. First off,
stupid.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay.
Although he probably won't realize that what you're saying is that just like Ferris does to Cameron, you are taking too much advantage of him. Juno, to show him that maybe you don't have the most warm and maternal of instincts at the moment. Sophie's Choice would also be a good option there. I know.
I don't hate you. You've just failed this question.
Stand by.
Miserable.
Stand by. And if you really, you're not ready for how much you are going to, you might not hate me now, but you're about to. And if you really, really, really want to play dirty and you're sure that the relationship is over and you want to end it, The Woodsman, starring Kevin Bacon
As a pedophile, dude.
Yes. To imply that you cannot be trusted around his children. exit stage left?
You didn't answer the question.
I think I did.
I mean, obviously, none of these movies would you actually watch with the children there, which destroys the question.
I don't think so. I don't think so. He's coming over. He's coming over for a date.
Are we with his two toddlers with him?
Let me explain my thought process. Is he going to have the date, complete with air quotes around it, with his toddlers in the room?
Yes, that's what happens when you have toddlers. You don't have a babysitter. This is the problem. Andy, I love you. You know I love you. This is where you're just like, you're off because, dude, like, this is the thing about having a kid. They don't freaking leave you alone. Like, there's no, if they're awake, they're like, it's all about me. Their relationship isn't in crisis. They're just tired.
Ladies and gentlemen.
They're so tired. You don't understand how tired they are. He could fall asleep on her shoulder, and that would be the greatest date of all time for him.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a moment to acknowledge something, because this is quite a beautiful moment in my life. This is the first moment that I have ever been confronted with a friend saying to me, you don't understand because you don't have kids. The first moment. You were here for the moment, Second Break.
Was it really?
Yes.
Well, Andy, I don't normally say that to people because I think it's really snooty. But in this situation, you have proven that to be the case. I won't say, no, you know what? I won't say you don't understand because you don't have kids. I will say that you don't understand because you don't have kids. That's not the same thing. Josh Edwards, who wrote this question, doesn't have children, but I bet you he understands, or okay. Else he wouldn't have asked the question.
Wow, so it's even
you have
worse.
Answered this. Oh yeah, no, it's much worse. You have answered this question like someone who doesn't understand. And Andy, it makes me sad.
You know what?
You man, what is that? What is that line? You're like, you make me sad.
A mishearing of a line.
A misquote, right?
A misquote of a line from the Errol Flynn Adventures in Robin Hood. I like you, Robin. But you make me sad.
Which is the actual, what's the actual line?
The actual line is just, Robin, I like you. Which is
it's
also,
clearly, which is not the same at all, but
which
Robin,
is not the same at all.
I like you,
but it's also
but you make
good.
Me sad.
It's also good.
But you make me sad.
I am totally comfortable with your derision.
Okay. I knew you would be because you brought it up. I can't wait to hear what Josh says at how bad you've, I mean, if this were a real gauntlet, I would be moving on to step four and you would be stuck in this room forever.
Wow. Wow. You got some cojones for somebody who isn't reading the questions today, tough guy.
I know. Well, listen, they got to come from somewhere. All right, what's next? What's next?
Question number four.
I love this question.
Me too. I think Octomom is fascinating. I work hard trying to fit in at my job, and I can't say they're wrong, but I'm pretty sure people think I smell funny. I've got a blind date this weekend, and I'm looking for some couch time. Ugh. Woof. What gets
She's a
it
terrible person.
Going?
She's a terrible person, this person.
Yes.
But I kind of love her.
Is it
a female?
Do we know it's a female?
Oh, I just assume it's a female.
Because only
it
females like
Octomom?
It just
felt female to me.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I thought that was my thought. All well, right. that would find Octomom fascinating.
Okay, sure.
Although my answers... God, you really... I think my answer fits either way.
My answers... I wasn't sure, so my answers are...
Okay,
you know.
I had thought this was... although if it was a blind date, they probably aren't going to have a woman at... Well, either way, if it's a blind date, what are you doing getting the person back to your house? This is why I think it's a girl. There's no way a guy gets a blind date back to his house. But a girl might actually make the mistake of having a guy back to her house.
I got to be honest, like Bill. I think maybe the two of us don't get a girl back to their house on a blind date. I think maybe that's the case.
But not as part of the date, right?
Oh, fair. Yes, fair.
Okay.
Would you like to go or would you like me to go?
If this is a girl, I think she's probably really, really attractive from afar.
A Monet, if you
like
will.
Like a Monet. Like walking around, you're like, girl's kind of hot. And then like you kind of look up closer and you're like, eh, it's put together with spackle and crazy glue. And with an emphasis on the, with a huge emphasis on the crazy.
Crazy. Okay? Yeah, sure. Yes.
Does she really smell like this? Is that a thing? You know, like, is she the kind of girl the first time you work in the first month you're at the office, you're like, that's the one. And then by like the time you leave, you're like, oh my God, she has 30 cats. She has 30 cats.
Like, abort, abort, cats. Pull up.
Abort, abort. Okay. I'm assuming you're that kind of girl, and I wish you the best with this. And so I want you, first movie, Silver Linings Playbook.
Lovely. That is lovely.
Because everybody's crazy just like you in this movie.
Indeed.
But here's the real thing. Bradley Cooper is hot.
It's true.
Jennifer Lawrence, also hot.
It's true.
I think if you want to get things cooking on the couch, as it were, if you want a little couch time, I think having a movie where you are enjoying the movie, but secretly everyone is really, really excited about how hot the person is there.
Yes.
I think this is a movie. You need to find a movie like that. You need to find a movie that gets you excited and happy, but has to have gorgeous people in it.
Yeah.
Being gorgeous.
Yes, yes.
And there are scenes of this where there are, when especially when they start dancing, gorgeous people being gorgeous. You will want to make out when this movie is over.
Yeah, that's true.
You will want to make out when this movie is over.
Yes. Nice. I like
the other movie I chose.
Please.
Bring It On. Now, nice. I wrote Thank You, the cheerleader epic from the I believe the turn of the millennium.
Indeed.
With Kirsten Dunst and what's that one's name? Eliza Dushku.
Yep.
And Jesse Bradford. I have a friend who went to school with that guy. And
by
Jesse
the way,
Bradford,
when you said Brandon, like Jesse Bradford went right on my head. I was like, wait, no. You know when you hear
something else.
Right.
Where,
go ahead.
Jesse Bradford, where are you? You were in one of my favorite movies, My Blue Heaven, as a child.
He was apparently in one of the worst sitcoms ever over the past couple of years. Guys with Kids or something.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, indeed.
Do you know who plays Billy Crystal's son in City Slickers?
Is it Charlie Korsmo?
Oh, no.
Oh.
It's an incredibly young Jake Gyllenhaal.
It is not.
I swear.
Awesome.
I know. I was like, what? And he looks just, and there's a scene where he takes his shirt off. I was like, really? You're like 10. You're 10, Jake. Already with the shirt taking off? Like, is this how we do this?
Listen, there's only one McConaughey.
Oh, my God. So anyways, Jillies. I'm going to call him Jillies. If I ever became friends with him, I'd just call him Jilly.
I like it.
So anyways, but if I became friends with Maggie, I would never do that to her. I would never call her Jilly.
Mags?
I'd like to get to know her a little before I decided on that.
Oh, sure.
But Jake Gyllenhaal would just be Jilly from day one.
Fair.
What's up, Jilly? And if he didn't like it, we're not friends. Okay.
Nice.
Bring It On. And it's okay to – and here's the thing. This is going to sound disgusting because they are technically high school cheerleaders. Every single one of them is like 28.
It's true. That's true. That is true.
Like, all of them are at least in their 20s. Gabrielle Union, who is, to me, one of the most beautiful women alive, was, I believe, 30 when she played the high school cheerleader in this movie.
Yes.
And it's a fun movie. It's a light movie. You're a little bit crazy, obviously, or you wouldn't be saying what you said in this.
It's true.
This movie is a little bit crazy, but it'll show your craziness, but in a fun way. And I assume that the guy will be interested in you when it's over. If you're a guy and you show this movie on a blind date, maybe less so. Maybe stick with Silver Linings Playbook.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Bring It On's very interesting because it's not so much I hate to say this because it works as what it is, right? It's an enjoyable cheerleader comedy. But because they're all older, it's kind of not a cheerleader movie so much as a cheerleader fantasy movie.
Right? It is. It is. Here's the great. This movie is like the best Neil Diamond songs. Okay, it is legitimately
wait for this.
It is legit. Like Holly Holy. I love Holly Holy. Or Brother Loves Traveling Salvation Show. Or
indeed.
Song Sung Blue. Song Sung Blue is the perfect Neil Diamond song, because it is good on a legitimate level as a pop song, but it is also good ironically. It is good as a pop song, but on an ironic level, you can still enjoy it.
I love it.
Bring It On is a good movie. It is a legitimately good movie, but you can also just enjoy it ironically. What's going on down there, Bubs?
I agree. I'm timing something. I'm just asking. You know what, tough guy? You worry about your own side of the conversation. I'll take care of over here.
I'm looking at you. My eyes are up here, Andy. My eyes are up here. Stop looking down there. That's none of your beeswax.
Nice.
Well, I never. All right. Your choices for this one.
Okay. So yet again, I wasn't entirely sure which way to go here. So I sort of broke it down. if you want to express the trouble you're having fitting in at your job, Rushmore.
Oh, I love you.
It is a marvelous movie about a misfit finding his place. And the people who get the romantic pairings at the end of the movie are, to say the least, rough around the edges and a little weird.
Your answers already are more compassionate than mine because I did not give this person anything really deep to play with. I mean, I think Silver Linings Playbook can be deep, but it's also just good on a surface level.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
But it still manages to be romantic. It's a genuinely romantic movie, and it's romantic in like the way we mean romantic, but it's also romantic with like the big R. Like it is. It's about the heart, and I can't say anything more without being even schmoopier than I am.
Schmoopy, schmoop, schmoop.
If you like Octomom, Ruby Sparks, an indie movie from last year. Have you seen it?
Nope, not yet. Okay. It's on my DVR. Yeah, just wait for me to watch.
So it shows reality television taken to one of its logical conclusions, and that is the creator and audience being able to shape and control the subject of the piece. In this movie, it's about a novelist who writes a girlfriend. Like, whatever he writes down...
Right. Happens.
...becomes true. Right. And it's a novel, not a TV show, but, close enough. And it's still romantic. Huh?
It's amazing.
Lastly, if you are mostly concerned about your smell. Number one, my pick for the worst movie of all time, The Room. Because it stinks, and because you cannot be, like, it is literally impossible for you to be less attractive than the actor who plays the main character. I'm not sure he has advanced to the same evolutionary level as the rest of humanity, and he might just be an alien. And I'm not talking Natasha Henstridge in Species or Jeff Bridges in Starman. We're talking an ugly alien, okay? Like a legitimate
question
ugly
for
alien.
You. Question
yes.
for you.
Yes.
Would people actually want to make out when this movie was over?
No.
Mm.
Oh, wait for it. Because, well, okay. A, so you can't help looking good by comparison.
Love that.
And but here's the thing. You're not getting to the end of that movie. Because I'll save it for after my second and last movie. Or...
So people are so bored, they're like, let's just turn this off and make out.
Bingo.
Love that.
Or the remake of Red Dawn.
Oh.
Because it is populated by impossibly beautiful people, which will... get your date in the mood, not unlike Silver Linings Playbook.
Very good call.
Yet, I heard this phrase a few years ago, and I don't get enough chances to use it. It stinks on ice, all right? It is terrible. So your date is going to want to turn it off, and with both of these movies, you turn it off, and you suggest other activities.
You know, this movie's no good. What do you say we kiss for a while?
Indeed.
I like it.
That's it. I'm done. I'm good. I'm spent.
I'd like to add a movie to the list.
Please do.
Bull Durham. Because I don't care who you are.
Nice.
You're gonna wanna make out when it's over.
Awesome. Awesome. Well played. I'm sad that I didn't. I'm not mad, but I'm sad I didn't remember it myself. Well done.
You make me sad.
I like you, Phil, but you make me sad.
Next.
Hi, JJ.
Okay, next.
Question number 5. I've got this chick convinced I'm the one. Hint, I'm not. What should we watch? I think you're going to disagree with how I took this question as well.
Either I'm a terrible person or you've just really messed this gauntlet up. What's going on? Like, what are you writing? Why are you writing answers that you know I'm not going to be okay with?
I didn't know you weren't going to be okay with it. Then you nailed me for my question number 2 or whatever.
Give it a shot. Let's hear what you got.
Alrighty.
I'm going to put on my charitable ears.
Here's how I took it. Oh no, I've got a stage 5 clinger. Okay? That's how I took it.
Oh, good.
Yes. First up, the movie, the cinematic masterpiece.
I didn't take it that way, but that's okay.
Sure. Porky's. Now listen, I know many, many open-minded women. I just do. I'm lucky that way. And while I think this movie is flat out hilarious, I don't think you've seen one of the sequels, which shame on you. I cannot conceive of a woman who would laugh at this movie or as much as I do. This will turn her off, but it might make her so angry at the misogynistic you that you get some angry loving before she dumps you.
Right.
Which, I mean, if you've got someone convinced you're the one and you're not, that's kind of the best of both worlds, right? Anything by Neil LaBute. Just anything. chiefly, again, In the Company of Men and Your Friends and Neighbors.
Right.
Yeah. And finally, and I'm particularly proud of this one, the romantic comedy Secretary. It is a lovely romantic comedy, really, that is centered around a dominant-submissive relationship.
Yep.
This will imply to this chick that you are looking for a particular kind of romance, and it will either scare her off, or perhaps you need to reconsider if she's the one.
That's a very good point.
See what I did there?
Yes.
So that's that.
What's funny is I read this question totally differently, and yet I came up with at least one answer that I think would actually fit in your group right away.
I love it. I love that.
Now, one that I didn't put on here, but if it was going into your group of how do I get this woman away from me, Triumph of the Will.
Birth of a Nation, The Deer Hunter. Yeah, no, totally.
No, just Triumph of the Will. Yep. What's this? Yep. That's a Nazi propaganda film. It's fantastic. Oh, you like it for the historical importance. That's fine.
Maybe.
Okay. Here's why I totally disagree with the way you read this question, though. Please. I love your answers.
Please.
It says, I've got this chick convinced I'm the one.
Yes.
Which leads me to believe that you're trying to put one over on this chick. So the movie that I give you is Requiem for a Dream. Because screw you, that's no way to treat a lady. So my trick is to pick that movie. My trick is to pick that movie and just say to you, oh, see Requiem for a Dream, because the title sounds lovely. I mean, it's even though the word Requiem means like basically funeral for a dream, which is sad.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. And they'll be like, oh, it's a Requiem. It sounds lovely. That's music.
It's a lovely sounding word.
Right. And so, oh, Jennifer Connelly's in it and Jared Leto. This will be lovely.
Huh, I can't wait.
And then your dreams will be put to death, murdered, massacred in front of you.
Indeed.
And get the unrated version, my friend. So what happens is, by the end of that movie, when people are selling themselves for drugs and everything is falling apart and people are killing them, she will want nothing to do with you and you will want nothing to do with each other.
Nice.
So that would be my sneak pick if someone this jerky actually asked me that question.
Sure.
And I knew they were bad people. I'd be like, you should check out Requiem for a Dream, but do yourself a favor and don't find out anything about it before you watch it.
Go in cold.
This is going to, but you got to trust me. And then when that doesn't work, that's what you get for trying to donate. There's no way to treat a lady.
Indeed.
Now, if I'm actually going to help this jerk face out.
Indeed.
You've got mail.
Oh.
And here's why, because if you're actually convincing a chick that you're the one, you're kind of a dirtbag. She's probably not that smart. So you got to pick like a cookie cutter romantic comedy. But you can't go with When Harry Met Sally. It's too obvious. You can't go with Sleepless in Seattle. It's too obvious.
That's okay.
These are gimmies.
Right.
You got to go a little deeper into the Hanks Ryan oeuvre.
That's right.
You can't go as deep as Joe versus the Volcano because she's not ready for that. And frankly, neither of you deserve it.
That's absolutely true.
You've Got Mail is utterly milquetoast.
It's true.
But completely and utterly watchable.
Yes.
And by picking this movie that's not the obvious choice, Sleepless in Seattle.
Right.
You show like you have this sort of like, look, I have a, if you really want to continue the ruse.
Indeed.
It's an elaborate ruse. If you want to continue this elaborate ruse, you pick a movie that makes it seem like you have some sort of
depth of character.
Yes. nevertheless, it's not a deep movie and it's a very simple movie and it will make you seem like you have to have a romantic comedy. You know, a lot of people love When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle, but I don't know. I know it sounds silly. I've just always been more of a You've Got Mail guy. See?
You know what you just were? You were Owen Wilson in Wedding Crashers when he's like, I think we only use 10% of our hearts. So I have two things to say. First off, well, three things. First thing, I love it. I love your answers. Fantastic. Second thing, I don't think we picked movies for a different guy. I think I picked movies for the same guy like 2.5 weeks after you did. You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is,
when he's definitively ready to.
I hear you. Say goodbye. Right. I think the only thing I would say is that I'm concerned that
yes.
I'm concerned that your guy is a guy who's legitimately found himself in a situation where he's like, oh no, what have I done?
Oh, interestingly, that's not how I read it. I guess you could read it that way. I was reading it like, oh man, I've gotten what I wanted from this chick, and I got to get out.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, you could just do what Benjamin Braddock does in The Graduate and just put on a skin flick. And they just ruin everything.
Sure.
Although somehow he ends up marrying her, which makes no sense.
Indeed. Indeed.
That movie is terrible! Sorry, I hate Graduate so much. Next.
I have a quick story, and I will make it quick. It's about You've Got Mail. I've told it on this podcast before, but it's one of my best movie-going stories ever, so I'm going to tell it again. I saw it with my college girlfriend, I think. Pretty sure. Saw it with my college girlfriend. We were sitting in the theater. And for obvious reasons, nothing PG-13 even, but I wanted to stay in the movie. I was with my college girlfriend. It was a romantic comedy, and it's a movie, and I don't like leaving movies. But I had to urinate. And judging from the basic romantic comedy structure, I was like, okay, I know basically how far I am from the end of this movie.
I have at least 15, 20 minutes.
Right. But I don't have more than 30, right?
Right.
So I can hold it.
And let me just say, I know about me, and I am guessing about you.
Yeah.
I know about me, and I am guessing about you, that I am so good at picking the right time to go to the bathroom during a movie. I am excellent at sniffing out, this is the dead spot. Now, I've messed up a couple times.
Yes.
Including I messed up during 42, which made me sad.
I have a really good record, too. I totally biffed it in Iron Man 3 the first time I saw it. I went away, and I was gone for, like, 90 seconds. And when I came back, like, everyone was in a different situation. And I was like, what? So I was like, I can hold it. They're going to fall in love soon. They're going to figure it out soon.
Right.
Why are they not figuring it out? What's going on? Oh, my God, I really have to pee. And I was like, but I know that they're about to fall in love. I can't be away for that. Screw it. I have to go. I'm going to soil myself. So I ran. I did my business. I came back. And it was still another 20, 25 minutes before they fell in love. And it's like...
I went on a date with a girl in college who was not interested in me at all. But I was really, really trying to impress her.
Sure.
Nothing ever happened. In fact, later on in the date, she was telling me how great she felt having a friend like me.
Ooh.
I'll tell you who this girl was after the podcast.
Oh, please.
It was terrible.
Yeah. I mean...
No, I'm not going to say it now.
No, of course.
But I just liked her so much. I thought she was the prettiest girl ever. I took her to see... I got my brother to get tickets for me because I didn't have any money.
Nice.
I took her to see Blue Man Group front
Love
row.
It. Love it.
Front row.
I love it.
So,
I love it, Phil.
So we went to dinner. We went to see Blue Man Group in Boston. I took her into Boston.
Mm.
We went to dinner. We went to a show, not even a movie. If my wife hears this podcast, I hope she doesn't listen to this. She'll be like, you haven't done anything like that for me for years. Like now it's like, you want to go on a date? Yeah, I'll cook something and we'll sit on the front of the couch together with no child. I mean, it's depressing like what a date is for us now compared to like when I was in college. So
this is what I don't know because I don't have children. Go ahead.
So anyways, the beginning of the thing happens. Blue Man Group starts.
Yes.
I realized right before it started, I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh no.
But I was like, I was embarrassed because I had just gone to the bathroom when we left the restaurant and I have to pee a lot because I drink a lot of soda.
Yeah.
And I was embarrassed and I wanted her to like me. So I just didn't go.
Oh, Phil.
I held it for the entire show. And yeah, I was in utter agony by the end. I've never been in more pain physically in my life than I was at the end of that show. And I somehow got back to the bathroom I managed to speak English and like excuse myself and went to the bathroom and I peed for like as long as anyone has ever gone to the bathroom. I mean, much longer than Jimmy Dugan in A League of Their Own.
Right. Like not Austin Powers. Yes. Yeah. Like it Austin Powers after being unfrozen.
And then yeah. After that, we went for a walk through Boston Common. Nice. And she was like, it's so good that we're friends.
Nameless female? No.
No.
No. Nameless female.
If I had a nickel for every time a girl was like in the middle of what I thought was a date.
Like, I'm so glad we're friends. Ugh.
One of them said, you're just like, I feel like I have a brother when I talk to you. And then she started dating one of my best friends.
Interesting.
And then she started dating one of my best friends like a week later.
Great. Awesome. That's, blah. Interestingly, I had a girl say that to me in college, and I'm not sure she wasn't still flirting with me. She was very weird.
I want names of that when this is over. You'll okay. Get it. Okay. Next question.
Moving on. Our marriage, number 6. Our marriage is on the rocks.
That's what makes me sad.
Yes. Money is tight, and we need to relax and laugh despite facing serious life difficulties. We can only do something on Netflix. Please help us. May I go first?
You may, because I nailed this one and you won't want to go when I'm done.
Nice. Here's the deal. Because I think you might hate me after I tell you how I interpreted at least part of this question too.
Never hated you in my life. Nothing but love.
I assume that this poor, despondent spouse means streaming on Netflix?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Me too.
But here's the deal. Streaming is at least $8 a month, and you can get the discs for $5. So I gave a couple that are on discs. I won't belabor them, but first one, defending your life. The moral of the movie is basically, don't worry, you'll be dead someday. And because of that, you shouldn't fear life. But it is also a movie that is so funny. It is actual like cleansing laughter. And it's romantic. And the other one is Young Frankenstein. Because again, cleansing laughter. There's no way to not feel better after that movie.
Good. I like both of these answers, although the fact that they're not in streaming immediately disqualifies them. You're in the right mode, Andy. You're thinking right.
I hate you. Now for streaming. I have 3. Clue.
Okay.
Wet Hot American Summer. And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Andy. One, I put Wet Hot American Summer as well.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
2, I just feel like you've done this really beautifully. I think you, because there was something that I was worried about with this question.
Okay.
And when you said, and you have not done it. You have done exactly the right thing.
Well, thank you.
Which is, well, you have, and here's why. A lot of times when people's relationships are falling apart,
mm-hmm.
they think, let's watch a romantic movie, an inherently romantic movie.
Right.
This is a terrible idea. Because romantic movies, by and large, show false romances that make you think of things, like that make you think like, if I had only done it differently.
So true.
I can tell you that when I have watched romantic movies when I was with my wife and things weren't going the way we wanted them to,
mm-hmm.
we didn't walk out of those movies liking each other more.
It's true. That's totally fair. That's totally fair.
We walked out of our movies loving each other more when a movie completely distracted us from our own plights.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you didn't pick any romantic comedies. I think Planes, Trains is a phenomenal choice. I think Wet Hot American Summer is such a good choice that I put it because it is ridiculous and fantastic.
I agree. I agree with both of those.
And was almost my answer for one of the other movies as well.
Nice.
And then what was your other choice? You said
Clue.
Wet Hot, Clue, and
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Just those 3.
Yeah. I mean, I just think you're nailing it, man.
I appreciate
it. I'm proud
that.
Of you. That's great. I love those choices. Okay.
Hit me.
One of mine is a cheat because it's not technically a movie. I don't care.
I don't either. Please.
Okay. Patrice O'Neill, his stand-up special, Elephant in the Room.
Okay.
Will make you laugh until your face hurts. And will also bring up certain truths about relationships that will kind of make you uncomfortable, but you will be laughing so hard it won't matter. Patrice O'Neill's humor, and he died, and this came out after he died. They were putting it together when he died.
Huh.
but it is, his humor comes from a place of such profound anger, but he's not angry. Okay. See if you can think about that. He takes anger and turns it into humor in a way that when he presents it, he legitimately does not seem angry or dangerous. But what he says is so potent and so truthful and yet like so out there, so funny and like hysterically laughing. I was hysterically laughing, but and says things that are so wrong. You can't think it's like any, but he's able to manage to talk about real life things in a way that you don't like. He almost like you feel like he's talking about absurd things. Like he almost feel like he's an absurdist comic.
Sure.
But he's talking about like real life and he's speaking so boldly and so ridiculously. And like I said, there is a sense that he is like, he's taking anger and crystallizing it and turning it into something else. And then when he makes the joke, it's not like Lewis Black.
Right.
Like who's angry.
Right.
It's like, he's not angry at all when he's doing the joke. But the joke comes from a place of pain. I don't know how else to describe it. But I find it cathartic. I found his stand-up comedy so cathartic. And if you haven't watched Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room, it's on Netflix. It's streaming. It's just genius.
I love that. Sorry.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I remember when he passed away and a bunch of people, not just you, but I remember you being upset about it and other people that I knew being upset about it. And he's just not one of the comics that I know.
I didn't actually know him I knew him from one roast when he passed away and he did a really good job on the roast, even though he was like, I don't get this. Why are we doing this? It was really funny and weird at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, you all are mean. This is messed up. But he died and I listened to a podcast, Mark Maron's WTF podcast. Mark Maron re-aired a podcast interview he had done with him and straight up blew me away.
Nice.
And so then I went and watched the stand-up and I was just like, I need to own it. It's fantastic. I would watch that and I would watch a movie called Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, Phil.
Right?
Oh, man.
That's my rum raisin choice. Rum raisin. Woof. I hit
it. Right in the center. Bullseye, man. Well done.
Now, here's the reason why this works. This is a movie that does make you laugh and it does make you relax, but it isn't just straight up slapstick. It's actually almost, it's filmed like a drama.
Yes.
But it's actually a comedy.
Yes.
And there is romance, but in a way that's totally genuine. And the romance between the husband and wife who are arguing all the time, and you see that they truly love each other anyway.
Yeah.
And the romance between the main character, Lars, and his mail order doll.
Yes.
And the romance between, really, the burgeoning romance between Lars and what it is real life. It's him learning how to be in love with real life. It's the best choice for almost anything, actually. And it was the movie that made me actually fall in love with Ryan Gosling. As an actor, not as a sex.
You were already gone on that level.
I had never really seen, now that was the movie Drive. Holy, we need to do 4 podcasts on the movie Drive. I'm kind of annoyed that we haven't talked about it.
One for each wheel?
It's a special movie. So Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room, followed by Lars and the Real Girl, you and your wife will be in phenomenal shape.
That is my single favorite answer of either one of us in this gauntlet. Well done.
Then I won't belabor the point.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Number 7. Horror movies are awesome, especially when they're thinly veiled psychosociological arguments for or against cultural political pressures of the United States of freaking awesome America. I hate commies.
I hate commies too.
Sometimes the bad guy wins. Those are facts. Not sure what to watch though. The reason I like this question is, whole lot of words here, not one question. Not a single question.
It's like that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah. No.
This character, I think this is the closest character to me, except that I don't think horror movies are awesome.
We'll get you there.
Can I answer first? Because I think you're going to say what I'm going to say anyway.
Please.
Dawn of the Dead.
Interesting.
It's the answer. It's a horror movie. It's a thinly veiled psychosociological argument, both for and against the cultural political pressures of the United States of friggin' awesome America. I hate commies. That's just, I hate commies and I love this movie. And sometimes the bad guy wins, like in every zombie movie.
Yes.
So those are the facts, and that's my answer.
I love that. That isn't my answer. But I'm so glad you said that, because what you did was not that you didn't hit cultural and political with your choice, but it skews more toward the cultural, because it's so much about consumerism. I went with Day of the Dead. It's underlying metaphor, for those who don't know, and I'm judging that's most of you, because it's not a good movie. Its underlying metaphor, tortured though it may be, is an examination of the alienation felt by those who disagreed with Reagan and the 80s Republican Party's vision for the military-industrial complex. Say that five times fast. Say that once, slowly.
Right.
But the bad guy wins. There's a whole lot of jingoism. And it's kind of awesome anyway, because it's super gory. It's far and away of the original trilogy, the Night Dawn.
The gory is by far.
Oh my goodness. Definitely. I have two and a half old school options for you. Godzilla, the original.
Well played.
And Them! Exclamation point. Both are released in 1954, so think about what the mood was then. Both mm-hmm. dealt with fears over nuclear proliferation, and the way they did it was they transformed animals, a lizard in Godzilla, and ants in Them, to preposterous and terrifying size.
Yep.
Both of those are literally about the Red Scare, basically. Lastly, the half.
But they're also no. Godzilla is a great critique of American culture.
Yes, that's
because they're the ones that dropped the bomb on Japan. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a huge lizard.
No, that's. Thank you for saying that. I neglected to say that. You're absolutely right. My half answer is The Blob. Again, the original. It is. Follow me here. Okay. It is a 1958.
Okay.
It's a 1958 movie.
Yeah.
About a faceless, shapeless menace that grows as it consumes, and it consumes everything. The blob is red. They fight the red menace with cold.
Wow.
Now, here's why it's only a half answer. This interpretation has been vociferously and completely debunked by the filmmakers. The reason it is still a half answer is that I'm guessing the writer of this question doesn't really care about strict adherence to the truth.
Well, strict adherence, I mean, I just give it a postmodernist thing, which is like, who cares what the author said they meant?
Nice. Well done.
Like,
well done there.
Who cares what you said you meant? Look at, we all saw what you actually meant.
Nice. I like that. I like that.
I'm ready for the final answer, the final question.
Final question. Numero 8.
Number ocho.
It's Tuesday night. I have 90 minutes to kill for reasons I can't fathom and couldn't have predicted. Luck is on my side. I want to go to sleep in a good mood and have a good day tomorrow. The right movie can do that. What is it? Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. I took this question to mean movies that are perfectly enjoyable that are shorter than 90 minutes long.
Yes.
Okay.
Mine isn't actually 93 minutes long, but I'm going with it. No? You want me to pick another one?
No, I don't care. It's all good. He'll just have to go to sleep without seeing the last 3 minutes of the movie. No. Okay. I have a bunch, but I'm just going to run through them. Most of them. I will stop about a couple of them. Airplane. The comedy Airplane. 88 minutes long. Nothing but funny.
Duck, you did it.
Duck Soup. An old Marx Brothers movie that is literally impossible not to find funny. 68 minutes long.
Oh my God.
You can watch that and an episode of a sitcom that you love.
Genius.
Buster Keaton's The General, clocking in at 75 minutes. A bunch of Keaton stuff is under an hour and a half.
Although, I knew you were going to pick a bunch of those movies.
Sure. Although not Steamboat Bill Jr., which might actually be my go-to. That is actually almost 2 hours long. A bunch of Disney, a bunch. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, 90 minutes exactly.
Oh, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, great choice.
I've spoken about this movie recently on the podcast because it is wonderful and because I watched it recently. The Station Agent, 89 minutes long, and if you don't root for the people in this movie, I don't want to know you. Like, I can basically say that without fear of that biting me in the butt.
Sure.
And lastly, Monster Squad, clocking in at 82 minutes.
Monster Squad is 82 minutes?
Monster Squad, 82 minutes long.
I want to watch that movie right now.
And you can, because it's only 82 minutes long.
I have the time. Whatever I'm doing, I have the time.
Whatever you're doing, you've got the time to watch Monster Squad.
I love it. Your choices are better than mine. Both of mine are just over 90 minutes, like 93 and 96.
I'm all good.
Okay.
Hit me.
Raising Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Almost picked this up there. I almost picked this for number six with Our Marriage is on the Rocks, Money is Tight, We Need to Relax and Laugh Despite Facing Serious Life Difficulties. We Can Only Do Something on Netflix. Please help us.
Right.
Because it actually is streaming. And the relationship between Nick Cage and Holly Hunter is totally strained. And it doesn't really end with a resolution other than a dream that he has that in the end things will be okay.
Yes. Yes.
And it's about so many other things that it works out. But that is my choice for – it's just so fantastic.
I was like, oh, do I pick it? Do I pick it? And I went against it just because I was trying to hew to the 90 minutes. But I love that answer. I almost picked it anyway. Yeah. I love it.
And then this other one is just over 90 as well, but Up.
Oh.
Look, you want to go to bed in a good mood? Up.
Yes.
Like, yes. That's the answer.
Yeah,
I just watched it the other night, and it was like
Beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful answer.
Up and Wall-E are my favorites. Up and Wall-E are my favorites of the Pixar movies. They are my favorites. And Up is one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years, easily.
I think I might agree with both of those statements, actually.
Mm. Yeah. I can't get enough of Up.
Sure. Yeah, it's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And Raising Arizona. Raising Arizona was the movie that introduced me to the Coen brothers. It's the movie that introduced me to Nick Cage. It's the movie that introduced me to Holly Hunter.
Yes.
It's the movie that introduced me to John Goodman. I mean, really, it's – although maybe I saw John Goodman on Roseanne before I saw Raising Arizona. That's possible.
Sure.
But I mean, my goodness gracious. It is – you can't not laugh. And it's funny from beginning to end. And it ends with such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful note.
Yes.
The Coen brothers have the capacity to end a movie messing up your head. They have the capacity to end a movie making you feel weird and terrible. Mm-hmm. They have a capacity to end a movie chillingly or unresolvedly. Mm-hmm. This movie seems on one level to not have the same – like a super happy ending resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you it will end in a way that will make you feel great about yourself
and the world around you. I agree with that. Absolutely.
Right. Those are my answers.
Absolutely. I love them. I love those answers. That brings us to the end of our gauntlet.
Gauntlet. We survived.
Although this one came the closest to truly dividing us, I think
we almost broke up at one point.
It's true. You were not twice, I would say. First when I with how I interpreted question number three, the boyfriend bringing the toddlers, and then with my answer of the woodsman. I think we broke up twice there in quick succession, actually.
Well, I think look, Andy, here's the deal.
Tell me the deal, Phil.
I've never seen you so wrong. But, well, there was one other time, but that can't tear us up. That can't tear us apart.
Sure.
In the words of NXS, the band, I am standing, I was standing, you were there, two worlds collided, and they could never tear us apart.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen.
Rest in peace, David Hutchins.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our gauntlet and the end of our podcast. It has been fun. Josh, thank you again.
Josh.
You have made us raise our game, and I think, you know what? I think we did it.
I hope so.
Me too. And that's pretty much our story for today, so we'll sign off. This is Second Breakfast. I'm Andy Roth, and that's Phil Duvall. We'll see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The most important meal of the day, Second Breakfast.